views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, I'm chatting with Sarah Du Whitsett, who I had on my show in June 2018 as part of a trio, Orange, Liston, and Du. We aired that interview as a vibrant replay at the beginning of this month, and now I'm having all three of these wonderful ladies join me on their own to share some more of their wisdom as it relates to living a vibrant and powerful life. Sarah is co-founder of Las Peregrinas, a business design and development firm specializing in implementation and copywriting for web and print. Her work has included nursing and currently also encompasses the publishing of a magazine in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Today, Sarah is here to have a clear-eyed and frank conversation about the most rare and lucrative of skills, namely aligning your actions with your motivation, your values, and your work. Whether your job is working for someone else, running your own business, being a mom, or anywhere in between. Sarah, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thanks, Debbie, so much for having me back again. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. Now, I'm thinking that since I last interviewed you, there have been a few changes. Like, for instance, I see that your last name is now hyphenated. So why don't we start with you giving us a brief introduction to the parts of your life that you feel would be most relevant to our listeners?
Yeah. So, I'll just start with that question. It will probably give you guys a lot of information about me, just in that question.
Okay.
So Sarah Du Whitsett. Du is my middle name and Whitsett is my last name that I've had since I was born. And I originally professionally went with my married last name, which was Finks. And I used that predominantly up until about 6 years ago when I went through a divorce. And at the time, professionally, it was one of those moments where I didn't really know what was going to happen. You know, you're kind of in that middle of, transition. And I was like, shoot. And I needed to make a pretty quick decision. So I just went with my middle name, which is Du. So I know, Debbie, you've known me as Sarah Du.
I have.
Probably the last 6 years. And that is my middle name, always has been. And then, but personally, I've always, since the divorce, I've gone with Sarah Du Whitsett, which is my full name. And then I've, along with, founding a company over the last 3 years, and I've been using Sarah Du Whitsett as well interchangeably. And so now we're kind of getting everybody all on the same page, and it's my name. So
we're going for consistency now.
right. Exactly. So that's where we are. And that's sort of the long runaround story of the three names.
I think that makes such a big statement about who you are, because I think it is hard for a lot of us to feel like we have the right to make those kind of decisions and to say, you know what, that's my name too. I'm going to use that as a last name. What the heck?
Yeah.
I think that is beautiful, a beautiful way to share that. Now, you're also a mom. Mm-hmm. So maybe just tell us a tiny bit about that.
Yeah, so I have three kiddos, all boys. My oldest is 12, and I have two twins who just turned 10 last week, actually, on the 27th of March.
So, nice. Yeah. But we're in May now.
That's right.
But not too long ago.
Oh my gosh, I know, time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I've been walking around lately saying, I have 3 kids in double digits now. And so,
yes,
that's strange.
And you were mostly a single mom raising those kids.
Yeah, so it's been 6 years. So yeah, 6 years. But wow. He was 6 and then the twins were 4.
Wow, that's quite a handful for sure. Yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah. Well, I think twins are always a handful because, you know, you get 2 for the price of 1, but they also can keep each other busy a little bit. So there's benefits. Yeah. When they're getting along, all is good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a lot of fun, but it's definitely been, you know, trying to figure out how to make all of it go together and work has been certainly a new skill I have learned over the years. That's for sure.
Right. Yes. So why don't we go into that part where you talk about aligning your actions with your motivation, your values, and your work. And I'm thinking maybe it would be good to have you expand on that and tell us what you mean by it.
Yeah. So I, you know, one of the things that I've always done is, you know, especially in moments where you're kind of challenged as to, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place in my life? One of the things I always kind of have a moment and check in with is, what is it that I actually want right now? You know, I found that especially with family and work and all this other stuff, you can kind of get pushed into things that are going on that maybe you didn't actually want, but we do it because we are who we are. We want to make sure everybody's okay. So we kind of will shift what we want to fit what everybody else needs. And it happens so organically that you don't even realize that you've made choices, right? That didn't actually fit you. Mm-hmm. I know that was certainly true for me. And I kind of looked up after, I don't know, you know, 9 years of marriage going, how did this happen? Right. I don't remember agreeing to a lot of this. It just happened organically. And part of that whole process was really figuring out what is important to me. What am I willing to deal with? You know, what is not okay? You know, what do I want out of my life? Because I do have a choice. And at that moment, it wasn't feeling like I didn't. And that was because I had given up the active role of choosing, and I just kind of leaned into what other people wanted. And so go ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't that just so true for so many of us? Even when you are quite a strong and powerful person, it's very easy to get lulled into that sort of thinking.
Absolutely. And, you know, no one would ever meet me and be like, oh, well, you know, I could see how that would happen with her. No. Mm-hmm. Right. But it did, and it does. And if I'm not mindful even today, you know, with the kids or with work choices or, you know, with extended family choices, really the question I always go back to is not what's the easiest choice or what's best for everybody else. That's obviously very important. But also as equally as important is what is it that I need right now?
Absolutely.
So I make it a habit of checking in with myself a lot around that. And sometimes that means you got to have some hard conversations. It kind of comes part of it, which I'm not a fan of, but you do it anyway. Because if you're honest with the people around you who love you and care about you, it's amazing to see how quickly you can shift things very easily.
Absolutely. And if they aren't willing to shift with you, that tells you something about the relationship or where they're at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for good or for bad, right? It just gives you more information about that person that you can, you know, go forward with.
Right. So let's dig a little bit deeper into motivation, because I think a lot of people get confused about what that is.
Okay.
So what do you mean by motivation and how would a person identify it?
Yeah. So for me, and I guess, you know, I think we all kind of have our own way of looking at motivation. I don't look at it as what gets me up in the morning. I look at motivation as what is the bigger picture of what I'm doing here, right? And what is the drive that's pushing me forward into that life? So what's motivating me to create in my world? And so it's like, I know it almost feels like you can't touch that concept sometimes. Mm-hmm. But for me, so the way I identify it is what's important to me. So for example, for me, what's important is creating a home that is loving and kind and warm and nurturing for my children and my partner, right? So that motivates me to create a world like that. And so I'm mindful of watching, you know, if I'm in a bad mood because I've had a stressful day at work, that's my motivation. And so I check myself, right? Is that, am I actively creating that environment based on my actions right now? And if I'm not, the desire for what I want is motivating me to make a harder choice. Be like, you know what? Put a smile on your face. We know it's hard. It's okay. You know, right. Call your friend tomorrow, tell her how terrible it was and get it out of you. Cause let's not pretend like we're not going to gloss over it. You know, but in that moment when your kids are present, what motivates me is creating a happy place for them.
Right. I often like to break it down into what is your motive? What's your motive for doing this? And especially for parents to often look at what is your motive? Because when we correct our kids or our partner as well, we kind of stop them in their tracks. And you got to stop when you stop and ask yourself, okay, so what is my real motive for doing this? It's to be right, to look right, to fix a potential error because those are wrong. They're bad.
Right.
Yeah. So I like to break it down that way too.
Yes. And sometimes it really is. My motivation for that is I just want it to be quiet right now in the house and they're yelling.
Yes. Well, and see, that gives you important information too, because sometimes it results in you saying, you know what? I think I need to take a few minutes to myself. Maybe, you know, go outside for a few minutes or go sit in my room or read a book or whatever, but I need some time because I just need quiet. And I don't expect you guys to be quiet. You just got home from school. You know, you're not ready to be quiet. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. So I have a note here that I have to ask you about. I want you to tell me about outsourcing your dog poop.
Yes.
Okay.
But again, one of my motivations is so one of the things that is important to me is having things be, you know, handled. It's very, for me and my personality, it's very distracting when there's like little odds and ends that aren't done. And I will find myself distracted to handle them instead of what's actually important to me. So the dog poop's one of them. It's a great example. And a long time ago, you know, I had larger dogs. The dog I had before, the one I have now, Jack, he's about 70 pounds. But the dog I had before that, he was a Bernese Mountain Dog and he was 115 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine what that might create. So one of the things that I hated doing was going all the way outside in the backyard and always having to handle it because it would always be like there, right? It's always there. It needs to happen. The kids want to go out and play and there's poop and nobody can go out and have a good time. So it would always drive me nuts. And I found this great service who comes once a week and they pick up your dog poop. Oh my God. I don't know why it has been, for 15 years, I have used them every week. They've come to my house and cleaned up after my dogs. And it's the best $11 I spend every week. I have to say, I love it so much.
Nice.
It's handled. I don't have to do it. And we can all play outside without me having to worry about it. So it's great.
Nice. Well, and I mean there, if you take that now and tie it into values, right? It shows you value your time. You value the cleanliness. You value how it looks. You don't want, you know, piles of poop everywhere, you know, and it helps you to see that. But that doesn't mean I have to be the one to go out there and do that. Because if it's not fun for you, and I don't know that picking up dog poop is fun for anybody, but it can be easy. I mean, I know for myself, I was on a 5-acre yard in Canada, so I didn't mind going out and picking it up because it meant I was walking all around. I had all the right equipment.
Right.
My dogs were not horses. You know, they were medium-sized dogs. And usually it was dry enough that I just picked it up, got rid of it. If it was wet, I went and got the shovel. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And the other thing for me, it's funny because I'll talk to people and they'll be surprised. Like I either get one or two reactions. It's, oh my God, that's such a great idea. What's their name? I want to call them.
Right.
In my house. Or I get the, I can't believe you spend money on that.
Yes.
Reaction. And it took a while for me to kind of get over that and be like, you know what? This is just, and it really is like in my core of, it matches everything that I need in my life. And for $11 a week, like I will happily go make money to make that happen.
Well, and that's the thing. Some people are okay with spending amounts like that and more on coffee, right, and others aren't. Like, I would never spend right, that kind of money on coffee or tea, because I can make better tea at home than anyone there is going to make, you know. So it, rather than, if you hear what Sarah has said, rather than judge it and think, why would you spend money on that? Instead, start thinking, when you're out there picking up dog poop, think, I'm saving at least $11 right now.
That's right.
Think of it. Feel good about it.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah. So is there like a tool or skill that you can think of? So if someone's listening and they're going, okay, I do want to tune into what's most important to me, and I want to put that first. And, you know, can you give us maybe a step that someone could use to get started?
So one of the things that I do, and I do this still religiously, is I kind of have a check-in with myself probably once every couple months, just to make sure I haven't kind of let things slide.
Right.
The best way to start, and even if you're not 100% sure what like is motivating you or what you're, sometimes you kind of fall into it. So you may not know exactly where you're driving the bus just yet, and that's totally fine. But with this, it's like a little inventory. And what I do is I just get a big piece of paper out, and I write on one half of the top, I write what I love. And on the other side, I write what I don't, what I hate, what I hate. And so I will just every couple months, I'll just run down and write them, like, everything that I do in the day, do I love it? Do I hate it? Every situation, every commitment that I have, do I love it? Do I hate it? Is it somewhere in the middle? And then I make a deal with myself, is like, okay, once we figure that out, anything that's in the I hate it category, I have to really go through there and see if I can change any of those.
Right.
And you got to be honest with yourself, because sometimes they're not fun. But I have found that by doing that very, you know, systematically, maybe once every couple months, you do start to realize that you don't have to do all of the things that drive you nuts all the time. Some of them you'll never get rid of, right, but you can at least lessen them, right?
Or even change your perspective.
Right.
Like the dog poop thing that we just talked about. You can sort of go, hey, I'm saving $11 right now, picking this up.
I did it, and my answer was hire the canine scuba man. It is no longer on my list of things I hate.
Yes. Well, now I'm living in the States with no dogs. So, you know, I'm not sure that I'll go back to the dog poop pickup.
No. Yeah. But we love the dog. And, you know, now paying the bill is on the middle of the road list. So it's fine.
Yeah. Nice. So that's a great tool. I mean, just sitting down, we've all probably heard of pros and cons lists, but this is just sort of kind of like, I have a little tool I give about putting everything that's on your plate, like taking out a look at how full your plate is, and then circling the things you really love, and putting a cross beside the things that you really wish you didn't have to do, and using that same idea. I love it, because then you can sit down and go, okay, can I delegate any of these? Are some of them really great for teaching kids life skills? Because, you know, you don't want to give your kids all the crappy jobs. But at the same time, you can use that as a way to lessen your load. And I think as women, too often we feel like we need to take on the lion's share of the work.
Yep.
And and we do just far too much.
Yep. A friend of mine, Terry Cole, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She does a great program out there on love and forgiveness. And one of the things that she always talks about is how we are all hyper-functioning. Mm. And I remember when she used that word, I was like, oh yeah, that rings true for me. It's hyper-functioning. Like, we, I think as moms, and especially if you're, you know, working, or if you, you know, if you're working at home and, or you're taking care of the kids, like, we have exactly what you're saying, Debbie, is the tendency to take on everything. And we end up being in a place where what we expect of ourselves is hyper functioning, and other people don't hold themselves to that kind of level of accountability, and we don't either.
Yes. Well, and I think if you take that just a tiny bit further, is we often will think that in order to bring in the things we love that feed us, like maybe going to yoga or whatever it is that you love to do, that we have to still get everything else done. And that puts us in a mode of hyper-functioning. Right. So we're hyper-functioning in order to do the things we love. But if you look around you, at your kids, at your partner, at a lot of other people. Don't look at all the other women because they're probably doing it too. But, you know, they don't feel guilty about, you know, saying, no. Well, I can no longer do that because I want to do this. I'm going to go play baseball or whatever.
Right. And then we get mad at them. We're like, well, I don't get to do that. Why do you get to do that? And it's really just because they decided to.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just have to take a page out of that book, which actually takes me back to your name thing. The page out of the book that says, why can't I?
Yeah.
Why can't I just do that? That's what I want to do. So that works for me. So therefore, oh, and the, no pun intended with the do there.
I know.
Just happened that way. So let's just zero in for a minute. Like, you've made a lot of really big decisions in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like leaving your marriage, raising your kids by yourself, leaving nursing, starting a business, even going from solopreneur to being part of a trio. All of those I would consider being very big and probably difficult decisions. So could you maybe just pick one of those and shed some light on how you dealt with it?
Yeah. So, So for me, decisions like that, by the time it's in front of me to make, I already know what's important to me, so it's not hard to make them.
Okay. If that,
it might be hard because I know what I want. I know what's important to me. I'm very rooted into that. And so when I realize that things are either no longer in alignment and I call them impossible situations. So like the marriage, I knew that based on who we both were and what was important to me and what was important to him, that it had come into an impossible situation for me to stay. So there really wasn't a choice other than the one that I made.
Right.
And so in other ones, like even the business, when we decided to come together, right? I knew that I had been seeking more growth in my business as far as experience, not revenue per se, that's great and wonderful and all, but I was craving, I had been running my own consulting business for about 7 years by that point. And I knew, you know, I was ready for more growth. I was ready to manage a larger team. I was ready to have conversations with people who are equally involved in a business. It wasn't just me making the decision. So mm-hmm. when the opportunity came, I knew it was important to me, and so it was a yes.
Nice.
Great.
I'm hearing you saying then is that you're really clear on your values first. What is the most important thing here for me?
Nice. Yeah. Once you know what's important to you, what your values are, decisions become very simple. Not easy. I will say simple. Because having the conversations and making those big choices are, you know, it's like a ripple in a pond, right? Those choices affect a lot of people. It's not just, oh, well, I'm just going to make it and it's no big deal. It affects a lot of people. So it's not easy, but it's simple.
Right. Nice. No, I see we're running out of time really fast here. And I want to give you enough time to talk about how you and Rebecca and Stella have kind of rebranded your business as Las Peregrinas. So do you want to take a minute and tell us a little bit about that and how people can find out more about you?
Yeah, so you can find us at Las Peregrinas. It means it's Spanish for women who walk. And we originally, when we started, just put our names together. So it was Orange Listen and Do, because again, it was one of those decisions that was made. I don't think any of us knew it was happening. It was just sort of, we realized at the same time that this is what we wanted to do. And so we kind of put it together. So that was Orange Listen and Do. That was about 2 years ago. And then interestingly enough, when we finally decided to incorporate as an LLC, we named it Las Peregrinas, and that was over a year ago. But that was, you know, our business name, who we were functioning in the world was still Orange Listen and Do. And as we've been coming together more and our company has been growing and our team's growing, we really, again, it's actually similar with my name. It's like, okay, well, let's just, you know, use our name.
Right.
And so that's where it's coming. And Las Peregrinas means women who walk. And that's what we do with our clients is any business that works with us, we're a consulting company, is we really work hand in hand with our business owners and their team to grow a thriving business that fits them. We also create websites that match who they are and where they're going. So it fits really nicely with who we are and what we do.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so people can find you at lasperegrinas.org. And if you don't know how to spell that, do not worry, because it will be on my blog at vibrantpowerfulmoms.com that is attached. There, I always put up a bunch of the quotes from the show with the show. So just go to this particular show, and I will be interviewing Rebecca and Stella in the next couple of weeks. So you will get to hear from them as well, their take on it.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so much for agreeing to come back on my show and sharing your beautiful energy with us. I really could have talked with you all day. And I truly appreciate your willingness to be here and to share your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me, Debbie. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, no problem. I'll have you back again. In another few years, you'll have different names. I know it.
No, that
makes you sound kind of flaky, and that's so not the case here.
Like I said, the decisions are simple, but they're not easy. I'm like, oh my God, it's so much work.
I hear you. All right. Well, thank you once again, Sarah, so much. And a big thank you to you, my listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Sarah Dew Whitsett, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.